Right now, though, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Their website, columbusconstructiontrades.org, and we're all feeling pretty happy here in northeastern Ohio after that nice win at Progressive Field last night. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show. How you feeling, my brother?
Feeling a little tired, dragging a little bit this afternoon after staying up late to watch last night's win, but what a big win for the Indians. I know we were talking off the air, and like I said, you know, you don't go backward in a playoff series. You go forward. The way you do that is by winning game one, and that's a huge win. They set the tone. I love the back-to-back-to-back home runs there in the third inning with Perez and Kipnis and Lindor. And then one thing that's been underrated a little bit, I caught a little bit of SportsCenter this morning. I've been listening to some talk radio. But I think it was a great managerial move last night. Francona stepping out of the box a little bit outside of the norm and bringing in Andrew Miller in the fifth and sixth inning and kind of stopping the momentum for the Red Sox. And, you know, usually he's more of a setup guy, seventh, eighth inning, even ninth inning guy closing it here and there. But what a great acquisition earlier in the year from the Yankees. And he's paying dividends already in the playoffs. And I think that was huge. And I think that was a great move by Francona.
Yeah, we got another game that's going to be going on not long from now, so it'd be nice to go back to Boston with a 2-0 lead. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that one, huh?
You're absolutely right. Today's a great day for baseball fans. Two playoff games in the National League and two playoff games in the American League. Of course, game two, Indians, Red Sox. So you're right. Today's a good day. Today's a good day. Playoff baseball on a fall weekend in Cleveland. How awesome is that?
And great weather to be besides, man. Good stuff, good stuff. Okay, I brought up your name a couple of times this week. We had Tim Berger on the show a couple days ago talking about this group that you put together, the Antrim Park Fishing Dock Replacement Project. And if you go to the the National Labor Federation website, AFL-CIO.org, they did a kind of wrap-up of what unions are doing in various states, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Rhode Island, and this project came up nationally, and I thought it was really cool. And it's just, once again, it shows what union brothers and sisters can do when they collectively get together and do the right thing. Tell me about how this all happened here, Dorsey.
Well, the Union Sportsman's Alliance and Walt Ingram contacted Tim Berger and myself, and they talked about reaching out to the city of Columbus, because there's a park here in the city of Columbus, Antrim Park, and it's a huge lake, and there's a huge fishing dock that's used by kids and adults there at the lake. And, it, you know, I don't want to say it was beyond repair, but it needed a lot of repair. It was in disrepair.
Sure.
And so we went out and we took a look at it, you know, estimated it, sized it all up. The Union Sportsman Alliance and Walt Ingram got all the lumber, paid for all the lumber and everything. And then we reached out to Joe Kreitzer, Harry Mullen, Chris Negley from IUPAT down here in Columbus. And Joe Kreitzer was kind of like the lead foreman or the project manager on the project. Did a lot of the coordinating, make sure the work got done on time. And those guys really started off up at their facility, at their training center, where they had all the lumber donated. They got all the lumber prepped. They sanded it. They primed it. They stained it, because, you know, you couldn't stain it once it was installed because it would be over water. And some of the stain and stuff, obviously, if it gets in the water, could harm the fish and wildlife. So stained it up there at IUPAT's training center. Then we brought it all down to the site. And in a little over 2 days, we installed this fishing dock. And this fishing dock was huge. I don't know the exact measurements, but I think it was like 40 by 120 feet. And then with the handrails and everything, and it's handicap accessible, obviously, because it's a public fishing dock there at Antrim Park. And I know Mayor Ginther was incredibly impressed. Of course, he's a good friend of the building trades. We supported him in his first election last year, and great friend of the building trades. He was incredibly impressed of how well it looked, how quickly we got it done, how we all came together on this volunteer project. He was there at the ribbon cutting, along with a good friend of mine, Councilwoman Jiza Page, and they had the ribbon cutting. We were all there, pictures and everything. Just a great event. And I think when it was all told, we were looking at a little over 1,200 volunteer man hours, and the savings to the Recreation and Parks Department and the City of Columbus was just slightly under $70,000.
Nice. Nice.
So a huge undertaking, a huge project. The director of the Recreation and Parks Department, Tony Collins, I talked to him at the ribbon cutting afterwards. He was also there. And, I mean, he was just very, very impressed. And the one thing that we told them, you know, because I think they were kind of amazed, like I said, how quickly we came together and got it done, how nice it looked, is we told them to keep us in mind on projects in the future, you know, whether it's dock repair or maybe storage sheds or park cleanup or whatever, because we're always looking to get out in the community and do things like that. And we're starting to string together quite a few of these community service projects. And I know our guys really enjoy getting out and doing them, you know, because it's not just the guys that are working in the field that volunteer their time, but we also have a lot of managers, agents, organizers, field reps that, you know, aren't out in the field with their tools on a daily basis. And they get to strap on the tools again and get out there and remember what it was like to work together with a group, with a crew, and kind of put some things together. And I think they really enjoy it. I think they really enjoy it.
Tim was telling me that you got some media attention on this. What can you tell us about that part?
Yeah, there was some good radio and TV coverage there. Of course, a lot of the stuff because of the national AFL-CIO, and also here locally, the building trades, a lot has been bounced around on the internet.
Nice.
A lot has been shared, you know, on Facebook and stuff. So the attention we've been getting for it is very good. Columbus City Councilman Zach Klein came down on the first couple of days that we were doing it, and he brought coffee and donuts for everybody and thanked everybody for being there. He's our council president, another good friend of labor. And we've really gotten a lot of exposure from it, and a lot of people have been very impressed what we've done. And I think that, you know, I was at a community forum last night at Driving Park Recreation Center over on the east side. And, you know, when people see the building trades now or when they see us at events, I don't think that they just think of us as union labor or union guys that are going out and building stuff. I think they're seeing us as good representatives and leaders in the community, too, and that's what we're all about.
You know what, and it's so important that you do this kind of thing, and the media takes notice, because you know down the road, Dorsey, somebody's going to come out, one of these politicians, and say, you know what, right to work's got to happen in the state of Ohio. It's happening all around us. Or we got to, these project labor agreements, they got to go away. There's always some, at least one, and sometimes more, often more, that are going to try to upset the apple cart here. So when you have an event like this, not only does it make you feel good, but it also kind of shows the side of labor that you want displayed to the community, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, our guys just aren't guys that go to work from 7 to 3:30, you know, building roads, bridges, hospitals, schools, office buildings. Our guys are guys that, you know, coach soccer and baseball teams in the community, you know, volunteer for the PTA and community service and Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts. And, you know, we also, like I said, we come together for a good cause. In a couple of weeks, we're going to the annual fundraiser at the Neisinger Center, and that's kind of been like our adopted charity here in Central Ohio. We do a lot of things, but that's the one that we're really close to. Our business agent for the Sheet Metal Workers Local 24, Rodney French, who's very active in the community. I was out with him at an event late last night. You know, his daughter has gone through the Neisinger Center where they help kids with disabilities, whether it's autism or other learning disabilities, and they do great work there. And like every, you know, even though the economy's getting better and things are on the upswing, there's still people out there that need help, and there's still, you know, people that need funding. And, you know, we talked about it last year. We went and helped them on their playground project and our man hours and stuff with the concrete we poured and just some of the physical labor and the assembly of the playground equipment and stuff, saved them about $60,000 on their project. And those are things that we're trying to do. And, you know, like I said, in a couple of weeks, their big fundraising event for the year is their Neisinger dinner. And we're going to be there, you know, in full force supporting them. Tamara Hager is one of the lead representatives over there that we deal with that does a lot of community outreach. She knows if she calls on us and needs help with a project or some financial assistance, that we're going to try to step up to the plate and do all that we can to be helpful.
I like that. Okay, Dorsey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Carpenter's Local 200 candidates night, and I see Mike Sexton's retirement from the city becoming head of the Franklin County Democratic Party, okay? How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Dorsey Hager on our live line, who is executive secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Also, Julie Laurie will be joining us from Mother Jones Magazine talking about the water crisis in small communities all across America. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
LIUNAV, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Before we rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Building Trades, just want to mention an event coming up in a couple of weeks. Mark this date on your calendar. It's Wednesday, October 26th from 1 to 6:30 at La Center in Westlake. And what this is, it's designed to get vets into IT jobs, information technology jobs. There's plenty of jobs out there. And some of the training, if you are a vet, some of that training that you got in the military could very well transform into a really good career. So if you are interested, here's the website. It's gunnyret.com, G-U-N-N-Y-R-E-T.com, gunnyret.com. We had Brian McGowan, who's a local vet, on the show a couple of days ago talking about this, and he's in charge of getting a lot of vets at that event. I told him, hey, we're going to do our part here on America's Workforce. So that is the website, gunnyret.com. And again, that's Wednesday, October 26th. You got a nice window there from 1 until 6:30 p.m. at La Center in Westlake. Ignite your career by connecting with leading IT security organizations as well as practitioners. All right. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades. And let's talk a little politics here. I see you had a candidates night. Carpenter's Local 200. Talk to me about it.
Carpenter's Local 200 here in Columbus. They've got a new leader here in Columbus. Doug Reffitt retired, and Mark Moen is their new leader here now, and he's stepped in and taken over. Man, he's shown some real leadership, doing a great job with the guys over there. Michael Freeman, some of the rest of his reps, Jason Clark. And they have an annual candidates night every year. And of course, this year being a presidential year, you know, our local congressmen, our local congresspeople up, everybody in the state house and state senate up, as well as various judicial races and county races. I think they had about 27 speakers at their candidates night a couple of weeks ago, and they're endorsed candidates. They come in, they give them 3 to 5 minutes to introduce themselves to union members and talk about whatever they're working on or why they're, you know, choosing to run for the office that they're running for. And then afterwards, it's great because a lot of them stick around. They have a fish fry with the membership afterwards, and they get to kind of hang out and break bread and get to talk to the members. And I think it's a really good thing. There's a lot of union members there in attendance. They get the opportunity to sit down, talk with a lot of these elected officials, talk about some of the day-to-day issues or problems that are going on in their neighborhoods and their communities and how they can help. And it gives them a great opportunity to interact with a lot of these elected officials. Danny O'Connor, who's running for Franklin County Recorder, he was the first speaker. Obviously a good friend of mine, tremendous young Democrat, a lot of potential in his future, and I think he's going to do well here in, what are we, about 31 days out. But he got up, and it's the same speech that he gives, whether he's in union halls or wherever, and he talked about, you know, union labor and how they've helped him in his campaign and how he works hard for organized labor and the working people, and he's just a tremendous young candidate. And they went through some other people spoke, some judicial candidates, like I said, some state house people, state senate candidates, and then it was ended by Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, who obviously is a rock star and knocked it out of the park, and it's wonderful to get the chance to listen to her anytime we can. So it was a tremendous event, and I just want to applaud Mark Moan, Jason Clark, and Michael Freeman, and the guys over there that put it together, and all the hard work and their membership, and they're kind enough to invite me every year and include me in it, and it's just a tremendous, like I said, opportunity for everybody in the community and their local union and also all of union labor to go and have an opportunity to interact and with all these elected officials in Columbus and Franklin County.
We always say we want an educated electorate, so obviously it moved the needle in the right direction that night, it seems. I like that.
Absolutely. And one other person that I failed to mention, and I apologize, is one of our state reps here in Central Ohio, and he's former Ohio State Party chairman, is David Leland. And what a great guy. I get together with him every 3, 4, 5 weeks. We have coffee. We catch up on things. And he basically started off, which I'm sure you've been talking the last couple of weeks about this presidential election. And I know people are kind of, you know, getting drowned out with all the ads and commercials and airtime that's been spewed. And I think a lot of people have kind of made up their mind. But David took the opportunity not so much to talk about him, but to talk about this presidential election. And I know we've talked about it on your show in the past, but how important this race is. And it's easily the most important presidential race in our generation. I mean, the person that gets elected is going to have the opportunity to appoint 1, 2, possibly 3 Supreme Court justices. And that can have an effect on labor, organized labor, and the middle class for the next 25, 30, 50 years. So, you know, he did a comparison of the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, and his crazy policies and ideas, including putting somebody on his vice presidential ticket, Mike Pence, who did away with prevailing wage in Indiana.
Yep.
And made Indiana a right-to-work state when he swore that he had no desires to entertain right-to-work. And it's crushed the working people and middle class there in Indiana, and it's really hurt the building tradesmen, where people from not only out of the country but out of the state are coming in and doing a lot of those public work projects now, because it's such a bottom dollar, you know, bids and stuff, and it's really put a lot of local residents out of work there in Indiana. And then you compare, you know, to Hillary Clinton, and we know where she's been her 35 years of public service, rock solid with, you know, the working class and organized labor in this country. And then she puts Tim Kaine on her ticket, who, you know, he's the son of a gentleman. His father owned a union iron working shop in St. Louis. So we know where that ticket is. There's no question about it. And our members got to get out, and they got to vote. They got to vote their wallet, and they got to vote their paycheck. And we got to make sure that Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine win this election, so we can keep appointing pro-labor, pro-middle-class Supreme Court justices to stop some of this anti-worker legislation that's coming in front of them.
Yeah, one is pro-worker, one is not. There was a story that just came out in Newsweek this week about Donald Trump using Chinese steel in his buildings. What a great guy.
I saw that. I know. And you know, the Letterman commercial is perfect, and I remember watching that interview live when it happened, and Letterman, you know, just told him, you know, he's like, you know, where are these ties made at? Where are these shirts made
at? Right, right, right.
Where are these suits made at? So for a guy who claims to make America great, he doesn't make anything in America.
I know. And then, you know, he loses $1 billion, but that's, you know, he's still a great businessman.
Exactly.
How do you do that? They managed to spin that one, but hey, you know what? That's another story. One more issue here I want to talk to you about, and it involves an individual by the name of Mike Sexton, who is retiring from the city, become the head of the Franklin County Democratic Party. Now, what position did he have in the city?
Mike Sexton started off his career in the city. He was Mayor Michael Coleman's community outreach director. And Mayor Michael Coleman, who last year retired as mayor of the city of Columbus. And Mike Sexton worked in his administration for 16 years, all 16 years that Michael Coleman was mayor. And then when Andy Ginther became the new mayor, Mike Sexton kind of moved out of City Hall and out of the mayor's office, and he went to work for the 311, which is here in Columbus. If you have a problem with the potholes or water or sewage or anything, that's who you call, if you have issues or problems that need addressed. So Mike Sexton went to work there at that department, but he's worked here locally in government for 30 years. He's got his time in. An opportunity came available, which we're glad that Mike jumped on it, seized it, because he's still a very young man, and to be the leader and the chairman of the Franklin County Democratic Party. And, you know, I know you guys do tremendous things up there in Cuyahoga County. I know the Lucas County Democratic Party is strong as well, and I don't want to take anything away from what you guys do, because you do tremendous work, but the Franklin County Democratic Party here is a machine. An absolute machine with the sample ballot, the chase pieces, the people they have on the ground, the door-to-door, the member-to-member outreach they do, the fundraising, the events. It's just incredible. And, I'm very happy, and I know that everybody here in organized labor is happy, that Mike Sexton, somebody who's done community outreach, worked hard with organized labor, has helped a lot of these young candidates, grow wings and fly and kind of get into the positions where they're at, including our current mayor, Andy Ginther, our council president, Zach Klein, people like that. We know that Mike Sexton's going to do a great job as the new leader and the new chairman of the Franklin County Democratic Party. And boy, I mean, he came in, it's like a guy who's never pitched in relief coming in to close game 7 of the World Series, but he's coming in right under fire, in a presidential election when there's so much at stake, He's doing a tremendous job. He's been there, I think, 3 weeks now. I met with him a couple of days after he took over, and it's kind of a running joke with us, but I said, boy, I said, I really liked Mike Sexton, but I don't know how much I like Chairman Sexton. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, when I'm out to dinner or having an adult beverage with Mike Sexton, I said, we have some great engaging conversation and uninterrupted, and it's awesome. I said, but with Chairman Sexton, I said, your phone rings a lot now in the evenings. I said, you have to get up and walk away from the table and take a phone call and put out a fire here and there. So, but of course I'm joking. Chairman Sexton's going to do a great job. He's a great friend of mine. And one of the stories he shared with me made a big impact on his life, as he can remember as a 5-year-old, he grew up in Cincinnati before he came to Ohio State to go to college. And then, like most graduates, he stayed here and became an active part of the community. But he can remember 5 years old driving around in the back seat of his dad's car. And his dad was a union rep, and he was a teacher down in Cincinnati. And his dad worked his butt off helping Democrats and pro-labor Democrats get elected. And Mike can remember giving him signs out of the back seat, and his dad planting yard signs for candidates there in Cincinnati, and Mike still has that same passion, that same drive, that same work ethic, and he surrounded himself with some great people, and I think he's going to do a tremendous job for the party here in Franklin County.
I like that. Upbringing means a lot. That's a great story to share with our listeners, Dorsey. I appreciate that. Well, we're going to have to run along here. I got another guest waiting here to talk about our water in America, especially in the poorer communities. This is a good segment coming up. And, Dorsey, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing down there in Central Ohio. Seems like you're in control down there, and I like that.
Trying to stay as controlled as we can. Try to keep both hands on the wheel and keep the car going forward straight down the road. But next time we talk, it'll be the first week of November. Hopefully we'll be talking about some Cavaliers basketball when we're reflecting on a very successful Indian season, and I hope they keep doing well in the postseason and keep winning ball games. And you guys got something special going up there in Cleveland. It just seems like you got the mojo going, and I hope it keeps going.
We're hoping too, buddy. Hang in there. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Flash. Thanks a lot again. Have a good weekend.
You got it. Dorsey Hager, ColumbusConstructionTrades.org is a website. Quick break. While we